MoneyWeb now on the money.
This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. Chatting now with Manpreet Gill, CIO for Africa, Middle East and Europe at Standard Chartered Wealth Solutions. Manpreet, appreciate the early morning time. Obviously, oil at 100, above 100 as we speak. Lots of sort of looking back to the 70s and stagflation narrative. You're pushing back on that narrative, saying $100 oil today, less dangerous than it was 50 years ago. What's your thinking and reasoning here?
Hi, morning. No, I think it's a key point here, because I think we're seeing a lot of doom and gloom headlines, and yeah, and it's not that we're seeking to downplay the risks here, but I think it's important to recall that, you know, $100 today is very different from $100 in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
One, because of inflation, but also because you need, you know, significantly less than half, you know, the amount of oil you needed per unit of GDP, per unit of economic output, compared to the 1970s. The world has gotten a lot more efficient. So this is, you know, high oil prices, but, you know, it's not having the same economic shock or inflationary shock as we did, you know, 4 or 5 decades ago. And I think that has helped to some degree, and I think helps explain why markets, you know, are relatively holding up in many parts, much more at least than one would have otherwise expected.
Yeah, it's a great point. Inflation and efficiencies both kind of kick in to make it less scary. S&P Global saying we'd need 150, maybe even a 200 barrel price for oil to sort of replicate those 70s shocks. I mean, are we at risk of getting there? And I appreciate this is a situation in deep flux at the moment. But from your sense, and are we at risk of that?
So I think this is where scenario-based thinking can really help.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, that type of outcome on oil prices, I think you'd need quite a bad scenario for that to occur. And of course, like you said, we're in flux, so you can't rule anything out at this point. So while it's not a base case, you'd most probably need much more Middle East oil output just taken off the table. I don't think we've got there because, you know, across the Gulf, for example, we've seen quite a bit of, you know, output redirected,
mm-hmm.
You know, which has brought, obviously not all, but I think a reasonable percentage output back, you know, to the, you know, East-West pipeline, for example, in Saudi.
Yeah.
So that has helped mitigate the effect. I think to get to that level of shock, you need, you know, a scenario where, you know, most, if not all, of the output from the region is really suspended. And we don't think, you know, we'll get to that sort of scenario, but,
mm-hmm.
but absolutely, like you said, it's a situation in flux and something we assess day to day.
Yeah, I was reading reports on the weekend that Saudi East-West pipeline is getting up to its full capacity of 7 million barrels a day. That takes a lot of pain out of the scenario. In terms of where then for the investor, you recommending inflation-linked bonds, you're liking energy stocks, and you're liking gold as the hedge. I mean, all three making perfect sense in this environment for where we sit. And again, something that is in flux, and we have no idea how long it will take to play out.
Yes, and I think what we're really trying to achieve here, big picture, is that the advantage of holding hedges like that is it allows investors to leave their long-term allocations unchanged. Because, you know, while we're discussing some of the downside risks, the reality is there is an upside case where, you know, equity markets do okay and this, you know, crisis resolves sooner than at least what a lot of people expect at this point in time. So I think when it comes to the hedges, though, they all serve a slightly different purpose. I think inflation-protected bonds have already performed to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really trying to directly hedge against inflationary risk. Energy sector equity is really just trying to look for assets that are correlated to oil prices, because that's clearly where the risk is.
Yeah.
And I think we need to be careful about positioning, because a lot of investors have had the same idea. But if you see that unwind at any point, that's something we'd be happy to consider. And gold is a bit more long-term, because obviously it doesn't help quite as much in the short term against the rising oil prices. But if you worry about some of the scenarios we discussed, you know, super high oil prices, creating stagflation, much worse than what we expect in our base case scenario at least, that's where gold can really play, you know, a key role. And it's an asset class we like for a lot of other reasons, if there are more optimistic scenarios.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, gold's been a good hold for some years now. A last question. Asian equities is your contrarian call. What's the trigger that you would look for? I get the sense here that sort of, is it a sort of an agreement of peace? What's the trigger you're looking for the Asian equity call?
I guess the key trigger here is oil prices, because it's sort of the opposite to the hedges. That look, if we're right in our base case that, you know, we do get some resolution at least to the oil price question and the output, then Asia as a region is the most sensitive of the major regions to oil prices, macroeconomically, but also from an equity market perspective. That explains why we've seen some of the underperformance in the past 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But if we do move towards a resolution, then that's obviously where one would expect to see the most upside from these sort of entry points. So it is a little bit contrarian, but I think it's really playing to saying, yes, we know what we'd hedge, what hedges put in place for against downside scenarios, but in that upside scenario, what's likely to perform the best? And I think Asian equities, for a variety of different earnings reasons as well, but actually right against oil prices, we think that can be an interesting trigger.
We'll leave it there. It's been Preet Gill, CIO, Africa, Middle East, Europe for Standard Chartered Wealth Solutions. Appreciate the early morning. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions.